message is from New Life Gillette Church Series, Bad Habits of Jesus. Pastor Mike presents part three of this series.
We all know men don't have friends, right? Men, especially full-grown men, don't have friends. What we have are wives. And our wives have friends. And our wives' friends have husbands. So when somebody asks, do you have a friend? Do you think, yeah, him, that guy. I've got a friend. He's over there. He just happens to be married to my wife's friend. And ipso facto, boom, friend. You know how your dad went fishing that one time with a friend and he talked about it forever? Like, yeah, I've got friends. I went fishing with Brad 10 years ago. It was awesome. I think that Jesus' greatest miracle was that Jesus was a 33-year-old man who still had 12 friends. Like, that's a miracle, right? Your dad talked about that one fishing trip. Jesus fished with his friends like all the time. They just did relationship together. And who wouldn't want to be Jesus's friend, right? Jesus did miracles all the time. He's teaching controversial things and everybody's attacking him for what he says. And it's like, cheer on your team and fight with Jesus and do the fishing thing and watch the magic tricks and all that stuff. So who wouldn't want to be a friend with Jesus? Well, here's the reality. The reason why this problem happens is because these people usually are good with relationship and these people are not. Why? Because these people usually are okay with vulnerability. These people are usually more okay with transparency. These people usually are more okay with emotion. Yeah, we don't like that stuff. But there is a lot of emotion going on in these friendships, right? This is just the reality of the way that they do life. And that is what allows their friendships to form and to be managed and to last for any period of time. So today we're continuing our series about the bad habits of Jesus. And today the bad habit of Jesus that I want to talk about is that Jesus was willing to and regularly had his hands dirty. Jesus got his hands dirty. And that's because Jesus knew that that is what relationship requires. Relationship requires us to get our hands dirty, to be vulnerable with each other, to be transparent with each other, and to do life, real life, honest life with other people. Friendship requires vulnerability. And this is the unique thing about Christianity. Christianity is all about relationships. Jesus, God, came to earth to have a relationship with us. Jesus, God himself, was vulnerable and transparent with humans, with the creatures that he created. That's love. James said this about his brother God. James says, come close to God, and God will come close. Come close. He will come down to you. For Jesus, spirituality was something down to earth. It was tangible. It was relational. It was from the ground up, not from heaven down, not lofty in some future thing. Spirituality is tangible. And when we draw near to each other, then God also draws near to us in that. Because Christianity is all about relationship, as we have relationship with each other, then in those times, God draws near to us. Jesus says that where two or three are gathered together as my followers, I am there among them. This is spirituality. And when Jesus came, he didn't come as a king who separated himself. He lived with his friends. He ate, drank, traveled, and slept in the same house as his friends. In fact, Jesus was so close to people and so intimate with them in relationship that three different times Jesus used his spit to heal people. Did I mention he got his hands dirty? One time it happened like this. As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man who had been blind from birth. Then all the people around started arguing. And they were arguing about what caused this blind man's blindness in the first place. They asked the question like this: who sinned to make this man blind? Because they assumed that either he or his parents or somebody sinned that caused his blindness. Then Jesus spit on the ground, made mud with his saliva, got his hands dirty, and spread the mud over the blind man's eyes. I imagine Jesus faced the guy, this blind man, and who everybody's judging, assuming that his sin has caused his blindness. And Jesus faces the man and he spits in the ground. And everyone around him was nodding in approval. There you go, Jesus. Spit in contempt at the blind man. Yeah, get him, Jesus. He's the outcast. He's the sinner. He doesn't deserve relationship with you because he's blind. Then Jesus told him, go wash yourself in the pool of Siloam. Siloam means sent. And the guy's pumped that he gets to wash off this spit that Jesus has just put on his eyes, right? I mean, I want him to heal me, but spit, really? Some stranger just spit in my eyes. And what he didn't yet know, and what the people around him did not know, is that Jesus' spit was not an insult. Jesus' spit was a blessing. The connection with Jesus, the intimacy with Jesus was a blessing. So the man went and washed and came back seeing. His sin had been forgiven apparently because now he can see. And he could literally see clear as mud. I've been waiting for a while to tell that joke. I think I did this whole series just so I could tell that joke. But that's how God works. He gets his hands dirty. And when God created us, the king didn't stand back like kings do and command us into existence or command somebody to do something on his behalf. This king came down and he got his hands dirty. He formed us humans with dirt. Leonard Sweet says, God created humans from earth and water, all originating from the mouth of God. Do you think Jesus healed ears with wet willies? I don't know. In fact, the filthiest part of the human body in the first century and before that was feet. So dirty that it was actually illegal to require slaves to wash their master's feet. Their master's feet was so dirty that it was illegal to force a slave to wash your feet. But Jesus took out his outer clothing and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples. Jesus, not even a slave, he began to wash his disciples' feet. Jesus showed how far down God was willing to reach us by getting on his hands and knees and washing his followers' feet. So if we're going to be Christians, if we're going to be Christ-like, if we're going to be Christ followers, what does that mean for us? What are Christians created to do? What are we invited to do? Well, we're invited to be like Christ. And we look at some of the things that Christ did in his life, and some things just kind of elevate and become more obviously important to Jesus than other things. So we've kind of decided that Christians do not exist for an education purpose. Now, maybe we educate people about scripture. Maybe we teach people about some history and some things that have happened. But we have eventually come to the conclusion that head knowledge does not always translate into action. Head knowledge about Jesus or even about scripture does not always determine a person's actions and who they eventually follow, what they will give their lives to. So it can't just be an education purpose that we exist for. Christians also do not exist for an entertainment purpose. For a long time, the church thought it was just, if we could just be entertaining enough, then we could get people here into the pews on Sundays, and then we will have done our jobs. But what that does is it neglects the become who you were created to be part, the become like Christ, live like Christ part of our mission. Christians also do not exist for a political purpose. Now, we have some very strong opinions about some issues that others have labeled political issues, but unless talking about that issue helps us lead more people to Jesus and helps us show love to more people, then we just kind of stay out of it. It's not worth our time because we have a higher calling. And finally, Christians do not exist even for a moral purpose. There are a lot of so-called good people in this world who are going to hell. They can be good and worship the wrong God. They can be good and give themselves the credit for their goodness. So we think we could do really good at all of these things, and some of these things are good things, but they're not our purpose. We could be really good at all of these things and still fail in our primary purpose. That's because, metaphorically, Christians exist to wash feet, to have that kind of relationship. We are supposed to be all about relationships, relationship with God and relationship with each other. And that's the kind of relationship, the washing the feet kind of relationship that we are supposed to build. Authentic, vulnerable relationship. And that kind of relationship requires us to get our hands dirty. So here's the question. Have you ever gotten your hands dirty for a relationship that you didn't have to get your hands dirty for? For Jesus, it wasn't cleanliness is next to godliness. He wouldn't have lived like he did. It was almost like dirtiness was next to godliness. But we like to sterilize our faith, right? We like country club church. We come in our nice, clean clothes, and we hide who we really are, and we just kind of put out there what we want people to know about us. We're careful not to talk about our faith in the wrong circles around people that it might offend, possibly. And then when we are around Christians, we pray in King James language. Oh, great Lord of hostesses, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal except for Tom Brady. Then when we do pray in our King James language, we think, well, first let me go clear my browser history on my computer, and I need to put some clothes on because, why? It's because we like clean, nice, neat faith. Maybe we just only do it on Sunday morning. Let's leave it in the church building. Let's call that a sanctuary. So we can go to our sanctuary and we can do the religious stuff and then go live the rest of our lives outside of that. Why? We like clean, neat, organized religion. Jesus did not come to earth to create an organized religion. Jesus came to earth to build a movement of relationship builders, a movement of people who were willing to get dirty in order to build relationships, to do uncomfortable things, to do hard things, to say things that nobody else is willing to say. Because people don't want to be in relationship with fake people. And people don't want to have a fake faith. Eventually, you get to the end of it all and you just kind of decided, yeah, we played some religious game, but I don't feel like that gave me any kind of purpose. That religious game didn't really do it for me. Because people eventually come to the conclusion they want a real, authentic faith. That's not all nice, neat, clean, and tidy. So if I can, I'd like to get really practical here for new lifers. Moving trucks. What would it look like if new lifers were training their eyes to watch for moving trucks? Like, a moving truck pulls into the cul-de-sac and you see some people that are new to town unloading their stuff into a house. Here's what should pop into your mind. I'm going to go help. I'm going to go get a little sweaty. I'm going to go get my hands dirty. I'm going to go help those people. As we watch for people in transition in life, usually they're looking for help. And so we go and help, pitch in, and we love in that way. And loving in that way is when relationships are built, when relationships are formed. So now this neighbor is not some stranger. Now this neighbor is somebody who you've helped, who now has a connection to you. Watch for moving trucks and go help. And then eventually, maybe in the conversation, it comes up. Hey, you should come try my church. You new to town? You looking for a church? Are you looking for purpose? Are you looking for relationships? Maybe even say, hey, you want to join my life group? Hey, let's have dinner. Let's build a relationship. They're going to be searching for it. Go get your hands dirty and go help somebody who obviously needs your help. Watch for moving trucks. Because we talk about this all the time, I know. But the point of all of it is relationship. Where two or three are gathered in his name, there he is also. Why would we not do everything we can to create that gathering that he is so willingly joining in on as often as we can? Christians are people of relationship. But so often in our lives, we get distracted by less important things. So often in our lives, we like to put our faith in some nice, neat box and move on with real life. Instead of realizing that the relationships that we're forming every single day are the spirituality that we crave. God, today I thank you for how you are working through our people to build relationships with each other. I thank you that in our life groups, life-giving relationships are formed on a regular basis. Help us then to become missional in the way we form relationships. Help us to be strategic in the way we form relationships. And help us then in those moments when we recognize that it is a God-ordained moment, that we are willing to get our hands dirty and do what is necessary to prioritize the relationship that you've called us to. We love you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for tuning in to New Life Gillette. For more information, visit us on the web at www.newlifegillette.com. You can also find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. And always remember, Jesus loves you very much, and he died to give you new life.